Hello and welcome back to Illumination, the Disney Lorcana podcast. My name is Max.
And I'm Sam.
And we are back at you. Episode 29 this time. That's right. We're making our way through, almost on the 20s now. No better time to be out with the old and in with the new, because that's pretty much where we are with Lorcana, right? Finishing up Azurite Sea, welcoming on in Arches's Island, which makes sense, right? We sailed the sea to get somewhere. It was an island. And it's a character we've never heard of before anywhere in Disney lore. So that's really, really neat to see. So I want to start with the olds, and I want to get some business out of the way. I think it is only reasonable as content creators talking about Disney Lorcana that we do mention the incident in Melbourne that occurred at their DLC. Unfortunately, there was an incident on camera of some nefarious stuff, things that we definitely do not condone on the podcast. I won't go as far as to call out what I think it is or what it is not. I think that it was not reasonable, and I am very happy since to report that Ravensburger has done a great job of addressing that the incident did in fact exist, which is unprecedented for them in any kind of call out specifically about anything that happened at a DLC on the uh-oh side of things. And I'd like to congratulate Jesse on getting the Golden Mickey and to Ben for making it to Worlds. So that's really cool to see. I'll make a brief little quick statement and I'll toss it over to Sam if she wants to add anything. Definitely don't condone any kind of misconduct at any level, anything. I don't even like it when people make me feel crappy at the table. So I want to enjoy the 50 minutes I spend with you as a player. I want to have a good time. We are both, no matter what, fortunate enough to be in the position where we could go and play cards together on a given day, which means that we're healthy enough to do that. We're fortunate enough to be able to afford it and to be in a position where we could have such nice cardboard rectangles in front of us. So let's just enjoy the 50 minutes. I am competitive. I do get aggravated when I don't do so well, but I do think it is worth definitely being a good person and, as Bill and Ted would say, be excellent to each other. So no matter what it is, whether it's just as simple as making somebody feel a little lesser or all the way to some terrible other things, please, 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 it's just not worth it. I know that some of these prizes are just fantastic, expensive, and desirable, but nothing is worth that. Nothing's worth what you would have to go through if you were caught doing something terrible or just worth making somebody feel lesser over. Just don't be reductive, be awesome, and just keep enjoying this game. Sam, do you have anything to add?
I agree with you on everything you said. As a newer player, I think it's important that everybody is playing the game the way it's supposed to be played and not trying to get any sort of edge or anything like that. And I think the fact that this happened, it just shows a lot of people that they do have to be careful and they do have to protect themselves. And it also shows us what we should do if the case were to, if that were to come up for us.
Well said. I agree wholeheartedly with that. In terms of the game itself, I would like to see the addition of a judge program. I think this incident, if nothing else, has called out that we probably need something like that in the game at this point. We've proven that there is a strong interest in competitive Lorcana. We talk about it every other week here, twice a month, and people are just hungry for playing this game. Amazing. This is a fantastic problem to have. I really am hoping that we see a judge program stem out of what was a rather unfortunate incident at Melbourne. So let's put that aside now and move over to set champs. Hopefully you got to enjoy your set champs. I hope you did as well as you hoped you would do. I hope you did better than you thought you might. As for Illumination here, we walked away over the course of, I believe it was 7 unique events, different store champs, different ones of us going to different places at different points. We managed to assemble 4 mats, 2 championship mats, 2 runner-up mats, 7 Scar Enchanted promos. So we are very, very happy with our collective results. Sam, you were responsible for a couple of these mats.
Yeah, I got 2. I ended up getting a champ mat and a runner-up mat.
Very cool. I ended up with a runner-up mat. I think both of us just ended up splitting top 2. We already had the champ mat, so neither of us cared too much about getting the runner-up mat. So the team ended up with the split of 2 and 2 and a good amount of the promo. So I hope all of you got to enjoy it. I just love traveling around playing, so I'm glad to get the opportunity to play at a competitive level right now while we're kind of at a lull waiting for the next little bit of announcement when it comes to competitive Lorcana. So very, very fun. And the reason I bring up these numbers is because I think it kind of falls in lockstep with a bigger announcement, at least from our perspective, and that is the creation and the announcement now of Team Illumination. That's right. Sam and I have, we have people. We've talked about them on our testing team. If you go back to the episodes where we talked about different plays to play the game and different ways to be good at the game, we've talked about the team before. We've had a member of the team on the podcast before. He went out to the DLC in Las Vegas. So you've been hearing about them kind of off mic a little bit, or on mic in the case of one of them. So we wanted to announce the formation and present all of you with the announcement of Team Illumination coming to game stores near us. Not near you, perhaps, because you might not live near us. We are here. We are Southern New Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, the tri-state area, as they like to call it. We are playing around there pretty much constantly. We go play locals all over the place. We do the Set Champs tour, if you will, around the area. We figured now's a good time to jump on, get the podcast out there more at competitive events, since Core Constructed is the predominant topic in which we discuss Lorcana. So I think it's really important that we announce this to everybody before you see us show up with our slick jerseys on at this point. So I am obviously on the team. If you see on your little Melee app, it's Devin X. That is my username on Melee. Sam is also on the team. Sam, what's your Melee handle?
SamW0525.
Terrific. We also have Cliff. He is Hyper Hippo. He is the one who's been on the podcast before after he went to DLC Vegas. And we have our fourth member has requested to be a mystery, and their Melee handle is 0193304. You can look them up. If you see a series of digits on the app, you've ran into the fourth member of Team Illumination.
You might get to know their name if you play them.
You might. They are very nice. There you have it. That is Team Illumination. And again, you'll find us at hopefully a DLC if we can manage to get in. Hopefully that gets cleaned up a little bit in the future. We'll play you there. So keep an eye out for us. Looking forward to meeting with all the people. And again, big thanks to you who are listening now and for the continued support. Can't thank you enough. It means a whole heck of a lot. It really does. For now, we'll move into the new, because that's where we're going, right? We're out with the old, we're in with the new. And the new for us means that first and foremost, before we jump into the new set, we are talking about the State of Play article that Ravensburger put out. A good little article. I'm not going to touch on the entire thing. I just want to touch on the fact that there are two major things that this accomplishes in my eyes. That they are being more transparent and they are making an effort to be more open with their communication. Two things that I think were hurting, especially the competitive group of players, a lot. I think there is a lot of despondency. There's a lot of bad feelings about the fact that we just didn't know what the heck was happening. We still, as of recording, don't have a date for Worlds yet. Was initially announced at one point, and they kind of backstepped it, changed things around, and that happens. But when things happen, we're all human. We understand these things do in fact happen. Just be upfront and honest with us about it. Oh, we didn't expect this, or oh, this happened, or we didn't realize this was going to be a thing. Or good news. We're there for that too. Like, hey, guess what? This was a crazy success. We're super happy about it. We want to be there and celebrate with you, Ravensburger. We want to be there to hold you up and reassure you when things go wrong. But we can only do that if you are being transparent and making sure good communication is happening between all of you and all of us. So a big thanks to them for a really succinct and nice State of Play announcement. Really appreciate that. Again, more than I can convey on this podcast. It's really, really heartening to see it. Love to see it. And another thing we love when you play cards is new sets. And we have one coming up. Archesia's Island. Archesia, I'm just going to keep saying it three different ways and hope one of them's right. Pretty sure it's Archesia, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I haven't met them yet. So there are some things that come with this set that are pretty darn exciting. Dual Inks. Finally, people can stop guessing that there's going to be a Dual Ink in every new set that comes out because they're here now. You don't have to keep guessing. The way Dual Inks work is pretty simple. Sam, you want to tell us about it?
The Dual Ink cards obviously have two colors on them. And when you're playing the Dual Ink cards, they have to be played in a deck that contains both sets of those colors.
Correct. So if you are playing with an Amber Steel card that is in there, it cannot be a Steel Amethyst deck. It has to be an amber steel deck. It has to have both of them. It is not like a popular theory was. It was one plus, so it gave like a two-color deck a splash of a different or a taste of another ink identity. That's not how this works. It has to be exactly those two. It has to be that pairing. So if you are playing an Emerald Sapphire card, it must be played only in your Emerald Sapphire deck.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's the easiest way to do it without breaking the rules of Lurkana.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the large majority of people were guessing, but it is worth calling out. I think it would have been cool to see like the idea of getting a little bit of something, just a little emerald in my amber steel deck or whatever.
Right, being able to get some ramp in my ruby amethyst deck.
Absolutely, yeah, hungry for that one for sure. I think it is cool that they are doing this. We're seeing this on characters. We are seeing this on actions. I don't think we've seen it specifically on items or songs yet. As of time of recording, that could change because there's a lot of cards coming.
That could change quickly.
It could. It could be wrong already because I haven't looked at my phone since we started recording. The next thing that was announced, this was early on, was Vanish, and this will be attached to Illusion character types. So what Vanish does is whenever that particular character becomes chosen by an action, it is banished. Pretty neat to see. It means that we get very overstatted characters, right? Like we saw initially with this announcement, a very large Iago with evasive, way bigger than it should be at the ink cost. But the drawback is a very small effect can just take it out of the game. Heffalumps and Woozles become straight up removal for that particular card. So with great power comes great weakness. Great design here. I love that. Illusions have been a thing in Magic. They are legitimately illusions, and they have this ability to an extent. In Magic, they're a little bit weaker because you can target them with abilities as well. I thought that was how this was going to work, and I was all excited because I was like, support is finally getting its day.
And I'm like, wait, read that again.
Yeah, and unfortunately, support is still waiting in the wings for its day, but a pretty cool piece of design space. And we've even seen a dual ink illusion at this point, which is very exciting. A pretty powerful looking card for sure in the amethyst steel color combination. So very exciting. I'm not going to dive into the card specific stuff because we do a full set review. So if you follow us on Facebook, please follow us on Facebook. If you don't, if not, we will definitely drop a VOD of it here, but we live stream it over on Twitch. So check that out. It is part of our Sunday night super stream, and it's twitch.tv/supraliminalfilms is the place you're looking. Supraliminal Films. If you can spell it, you can find us over there. That is the production company that I've been a part of since like 2000 and I think proper 2008. So it's been a very long time that I've been a part of Supraliminal, and we do all kinds of stuff. You can check us out over there. Illumination, a proud partner of that production company. That being said, we'll get into every single card. Don't worry. Next up is something that was just announced today on day of recording, specifically the day before this episode will release, and that is Universal Shift. Sam, what the heck does that mean?
It's a character that can shift onto any of your characters.
So it's like reverse morph.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. We've seen one card so far with Universal Shift. I love that we're not getting bombarded with just brand new things all the time, but we're constantly getting walked back a little bit and really exploring the depth of certain keywords like Shift. I think that is very, very exciting. Like, obviously, we're adding in a new keyword with Vanish, but further delving into what is possible with Shift with the keyword of Universal Shift.
Yeah, I think it's really awesome how many different things they've done with just Shift.
Yeah, it's really fun. We've had the alternate costs. Now we've had morph. Now we have reverse morph as a keyword with the Universal Shift ability. It's very exciting to see the depth that we can look in when we're kind of going deep instead of just going wide with just new keywords every single set. That's not the focus here. The focus is to make the cards unique and interesting, whether that's exploring the same exact things or it is really diving deep into one specific type of effect like we've seen here with Shift. We have also seen cards introduced from different IPs that we've never had in the game before. Lady and the Tramp was an early one that was announced. Lady, kind of the key piece of art to lead into the set. We have Bolt, of course, also a key piece of art. Hidden until very, very recently, Aristocats.
That was an exciting little surprise.
It was. And to the extreme joy of one person, for sure, the addition of a little dragon called Mushu, finally. So shout out to Mushu Report. That is, it was so exciting to see them get to react and kind of see the Mushu card in person. So very fun to see that. I like the little talks that we have in Discord with the Ravensburger folks and the design team and the content creators. One day you'll see Sam and I there. One day. Sam, what are you looking forward to from Arches's Island outside of what we talked about?
I think it's going to be interesting to see the first kind of quote ink destruction. It's Ink Geyser, which is a 3-cost uninkable action, and it's each player exerts all cards in their inkwell, and then each player with more than 3 cards in their inkwell returns cards at random from their inkwell to their hand until they have 3 cards in their inkwell.
So it's like half a Mufasa, but you go down to a much lower ink number, a set ink number. So this is very, in a way, a little similar to something like an Upheaval for Magic the Gathering, in a sense, because you're returning all of the lands. I believe Sunder was the one that returned lands specifically. So it's pretty cool to see this effect. I think there's a lot of implication. It's definitely interesting to see it paired with Sapphire because you could be able to, in theory, like ramp things back out. But it's also interesting to see it paired with Emerald, where you could be playing a little bit more of an aggressive game plan and just put back down a bunch of characters very quickly. Like you could definitely go turn, let's say turn 6 on the play. I could put down a 1-drop and a 2-drop or a 3-drop and then play this, pick up my ink, have my opponent set back 2 full turns in terms of their ink development. Now they have to keep up with the fact I just put down 2 more characters and 2 turns basically worth of ink development put back in their hand. And now they have to figure out a way to deal with the 2 characters I just put down in addition to any other characters I've put down. So this kind of effect is definitely one of the most unique unto Lurkana, only being seen one-sided and a little bit because you just returned 2 cards when you played the Sapphire Mufasa. So it's really interesting to see it double-sided and so potentially backbreaking in terms of resource development. It also could be really good though. You could end up getting back some cool stuff that you had to sadly ink, and now you have a few more cards in your hand. So it's an interesting card. I'm excited to see the design space. And I think that this is just a good little, I think it's a great way to cap the episode because it's a good little taste of what the dual ink concept could bring our way. So lots of possibilities coming on this island. Lots to be excited about in terms of transparency, communication, what's going on with the competitive part of Lurkana. A lot of happy things as we transition from old to new. There is one constant. In order to win a game of Lurkana, you must
keep questing.